Since the beginning of the war, millions of men have been called from the fields of production to the fields of destruction. This has had the double effect of diminishing the products of the world and increasing the demand for many of them. Just what the demand upon the resources of the world has been is almost beyond comprehension. About a year ago, it was estimated that the amount that had been spent in the war up to that time would be sufficient to hire a taxi cab to the sun and back at $425 a mile. This estimate was low enough to allow about $2 billion for incidental expenses while the occupant of the air-going cab was approaching his place in the sun. Since a year ago, the cost of the war has advanced. The world is less able to meet the exorbitant cost of the war this year than it was last year. There is money, to be sure, but the money is merely a measure of the cost. The shortage is in the materials for arms, explosives, clothing, and food. The one way to make up the deficit is conservation. The conservation of food is a serious, trying duty. Nearly all are acquainted with the methods of conservation and have expressed their willingness to do their bit. These are essential steps toward conservation, but they will never conserve anything. Actual practice is necessary. The practice of conservation requires a change in one's manner of living. Such a change can be not accomplished without suffering. It has been said, the task before the Conservation Committee is to change the eating habits of millions of people living in the land of plenty. The difficulties are apparent at once. The change would be difficult if it were compulsory. But the change not being compulsory, the individual, surrounded by every means of gratifying desires, born of lifelong habits, is apt to find himself favoring a policy of conservative conservation. A change is pleasant for a change, but the same change for a regular diet becomes an old story rather abruptly. And the American, 6,000 miles from the site of actual need, finds it very easy to slip back into his old manner of living. What a simple matter conservation would be if the American were seated at the same table with the European who is in actual need. How easy, then, for the American to accept the cornbread that the European might use the wheat bread. We find conservation difficult because we cannot see the things we conserve being used by those who need them more than we do. Shielded as we are from even the sight of suffering, one finds it necessary to exercise a rigorous discipline over himself that he may not become slack in his duty. Conservation was fun at first. Now it is funnier each meal than it is the following one. But it must be remembered that conservation is not a passing fad. It is a necessity that will remain a necessity as long as the war lasts. The only look for changes are more general practice and more rigid rules. Difficult as conservation may be, it is the duty of every civilian. Obviously, the privations endured by the soldiers are much more distressing than any that may be required of the civilian. Though the division of hardships can never be equal, the inequality of the division should be recognized by those who remain at home. For the soldiers, who are bearing the brunt of the struggle, have as good a claim to the peaceful occupations as any civilian. Many have expressed regret that they were not in position to enlist in some branch of the service. Verbal expression of patriotism is good and always to be desired. Still, it doesn't pay one to advertise unless he has the goods. The test of the civilian's patriotism lies in his practice of conservation, the inglorious, tiresome duty of saving. No one should miss this opportunity to acknowledge the hardships others are suffering for him. If he does, he is an ingrate. That is a hard name indeed. In the words of Shakespeare, I hate ingratitude in any man more than lying, drunkenness, babbling, or any taint of vice that inhibits our frail blood. Particularly, the student should practice conservation. The service that the student renders in this struggle is more remote, more hazy than any other form of service. Consequently, he is in more danger of appearing to be a slacker than any other. Then, in fairness to himself, to avoid the stigma of the slacker, he should give expression to his patriotism in at least this conservative way. But there is more than appearance to be considered. A person who refuses to change his eating habits now is more than indifferent, he is disloyal.